It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
First big story for the Financial Times was a profile of the author Kurt Vonnegut, based on a train trip that they took together from Springfield, Massachusetts to New York. His last piece for the Financial Times was Vonnegut's obituary. He received his degree in history from Trinity College and the University of Chicago. Paul, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have somebody on. You've got a great book. I think it's wonderful. And there's an interesting story about why you wrote the book, Clutch. So tell us, what were some of the reasons that you had that prompted you to write Clutch?
Well, there are two reasons, Bill. The first was, you know, as you said in the very nice lead-in, I'm a business reporter. I've been one for 15 years, and back in 2007, 2008, I was watching otherwise bright, accomplished people at the top of their fields fail under pressure. They were choking, and it didn't matter where they were. They were in law, they were in banking, they're entrepreneurs. We saw politicians do this. We saw, you know, military leaders do this. And my first question was, I wanted to know why. And as I talked, you know, to some folks about this, they would ask me the question, you know, why are you doing this? Why do you have this interest? And I said, well, to be quite honest, when I was a kid, I played a lot of golf, and I thought I was pretty good. I had a single-digit handicap, shooting the 70s at my home course.
Nice.
Have a lot of fun. Yeah, it was great. Until I played in the tournament. And each and every tournament, I choked. And unfortunately, this wasn't something that I grew out of, like acne. I'd get invited as an adult to, you know, a nice country club here and there, and I'd go out there, and it didn't matter if I'd been shooting, you know, in the 70s, even low 80s, the week before. I'd stand on that first tee, and something would happen. And so that was, you know, the personal driver behind this. I wanted to know, you know, look, if I choke on a golf course, it doesn't matter. You know, it ruins my day. But if somebody leading a bank, somebody who's a top litigator, if that person chokes, it matters. And that's what I really wanted to look into with this book.
And you've done a thorough job on that. But I got to admit, not all of us are bank presidents or leaders of large organizations. Many, very few of us are Michael Jordan or Joe Montana, who are clutch athletes. So why do we as just average people need to be clutch?
Yeah, because I found that regardless of what you do in life, we all want to be great under pressure. You could be in the 2.5-3 years it took me to write this book. Look, the economy got worse, and we saw people who were losing their homes, people who were struggling to find a job. Well, if you need to make financial decisions, if you need to sit down with an interview when you haven't had a job in 6, 9, 12 months, that's pressure. And the heartening part of the research I did in this book was I found that people who are great under pressure exhibit the same 5 traits, whether they're a star baseball player, an athlete, or a parent. And conversely, people who choke under pressure have the same 3 qualities. So I looked at that and said, this is very good because it can help people who, as you said, aren't Michael Jordan, who aren't that athlete in the spotlight. But guess what? They still have to make decisions, if not every day of their life, perhaps every month or several times a year, that involves a tremendous amount of pressure. And I hope that in reading this book, they'll find ways to make those decisions in a better way.
All right, we're talking to Paul Sullivan, everybody, and Paul, we'll come to your 5 traits in just a minute, but before we do, I think just lay some foundational work for us. How do you define clutch?
Yeah, I define clutch as the ability to do what you can do under normal conditions, under pressure, and that's very important because I want to make sure that people understand there's no element of luck to it. You need to be able to do these things under normal conditions if you expect to do them when the pressure's really on. So this is football season, so to use a sports analogy, one thing I say is, look, it's not the Hail Mary pass. It's not that pass down the field, 90 yards, guy catches it in the end zone, game over. It's more the precisely executed series of plays down the field under pressure that gets to that same goal, but that happens in a much more repeatable format. There isn't that element of luck in there. There relies much more on skill.
All right. right. Now I'm going to question you and challenge you a little bit on that point, Paul Sullivan, because you think of, and I understand what you're saying about a methodical way of getting down the field, but think of Franco Harris, the Steelers, and the Immaculate Reception. There was a drive. They were moving down the field. Ball gets tipped a couple of times. There was an element of luck there. How can you say that luck is not involved in somebody in a clutch performance?
I'm not saying that you know, look, people get lucky all the time, but that doesn't make it clutch. I mean, just because something goes down in our romantic imagination as a clutch play, I argue at the very beginning of the book, doesn't make it so. I mean, to use an example from the sort of the Los Angeles area, I talk about the World Series in 88 when Kirk Gibson gets up there, game one, hits the ball out of the ballpark, hobbles around the field, fist raised, wins that game for the Dodgers. And a lot of people think of it as a clutch moment. All of us as sports fans think of it as an incredibly romantic moment. I argue that while it was inspiring, it's great to watch, it's not clutch, because if Gibson had hit that ball anywhere else in the ballpark other than out of the ballpark, he wouldn't have made it to first base.
Right.
I mean, people forget that his legs were shot. He was sick. And guess what? He was facing Dennis Eckersley, a future Hall of Famer. It wasn't, you know, a chump up there. So it's a great play. Same with the, you know, Franco Harris play you mentioned. It's a great play, but it doesn't mean that it's clutch.
All right. But let me turn the tables and let's use that Kirk Gibson example, because it is a great example. Was it a clutch performance by the manager, Tommy Lasorda, to put Kirk Gibson in at that particular moment?
Absolutely not. It was crazy. It was a crazy decision for him to make. I mean, seriously, the guy limped to the plate. I mean, however great he is, you have to think, you know, again, he wasn't going up against some sort of slug. So it was a crazy decision, but it paid off for them, and it's, you know, I think it's still one of the top 10 sports moments of all time.
Absolutely. We're talking to Paul Sullivan, everybody. His latest book is titled Clutch, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. And let's get to those characteristics that you found during doing your research, Paul, because I found it was fascinating. There are five of them, so take us down that list. What's first on your list of five?
Sure. The first one is focus. And when I talk about focus, I make sure people understand that there's a difference between concentration and focus. Concentration is driving home tonight on the 1, on the 10, wherever you're driving home. Focus is driving a Ferrari at 200 miles an hour on a racetrack, and it doesn't belong to you.
Okay, so you really have to be honed in on that. I get it. Now,
yeah, but it's also it's the most important trait. And you know, the five traits are in a very particular order. It's the most important because it puts the person in the frame of mind to know, okay, this is what am I? I'm focused on a goal. Whatever that goal is under pressure, that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing I'm thinking of right now.
Okay, and so these points that you're giving us are actually sequential? You have to go point number one, focus, followed by the other four? Or is it just that focus is the most essential of the five?
I mean, I'd like to think that at least the first four go in order, but focus, without focus, nothing else happens.
Okay.
The second trait is discipline, and that's the simplest one to understand. Essentially, you know, once you're focused on that goal, you need to have the discipline and the wherewithal to sort of carry forth and not get distracted along the way.
All right, and that sounds very, very straightforward, but it's not as straightforward as we both make it sound. I mean, people tense up. So what causes people to tense up, even though they may be very disciplined?
Well, I mean, one of the you know, if we skip, you know, adaptability is the third trait. If we skip to the fourth trait, being present, people often tense up because they start thinking in the process of this high-pressure moment, they start thinking, boy, if I do a great job, I'm going to be clutch. Or, just as pernicious, if I do a horrible job, I'm going to choke. So the key is that the people who are the greatest under pressure, they don't think about the outcome. They think only of controlling the process, because that's what they can control. And so, and more than that, they think only of that one particular moment. You may have had, you know, scores of high pressure situations, and you may have, you know, come through in most of them, but the only one that matters is the one that you're in that moment.
All right, now let's go back. We're going to be bouncing back and forth now between your five points, but let's go back to the third point, which is adaptability. So if I'm focused and I'm thinking process, what happens when I've got a very sound process and I'm following that process, but the process breaks down? whether it's a loan application for a mortgage or whatever it may be, what happens then?
Yeah, I mean, that's where absolutely adaptability comes in. And what does that mean exactly? Well, what it means is one of the dangerous things that happens under pressure is we fall in love with our plan. We think that this is the greatest plan and this is how we're going to execute it. Well, sometimes that works, and that's wonderful. But sometimes it doesn't work because we don't know all the variables. We don't know what can happen externally. So think of that, you know, loan application, or think of a refinancing. You have it planned in your mind that you're going to go in and talk to the loan officer, and he's told you ahead of time, you've got 30 minutes to make your case. No, you do everything. You prepare it. You get ready. You walk into his office. You sit down. He says, actually, you know what? I just got a call. You've only got 15 minutes. So I'm sorry, but I'm sure we can get this done in 15 minutes. Well, if you don't adapt your plan in that moment and you just start, you know, making the first 15 minutes of your case, you're not going to make a very good case. So instantly, you have to adapt and say, okay, what are the, you know, three or four most relevant points I need to make in the 15 minutes allotted, and, you know, I'll scrap the others that I had if I had 30 minutes. So that's a concrete way to think of how we must adapt under pressure.
All right. So the first four points are focus, discipline, adaptability, which we just talked about, and being truly present. Talk to us a little bit more about being truly present in the moment. How does one sort of get those blinders and think only about the moment?
Yeah, it's not easy. And one way to think about it is, you know, a lot of people in business or parents or anybody, at some point we're going to need to make a presentation. And what happens when most people make a presentation? They get stage fright. And we call it stage fright for a reason. You get up there and you think, oh my God, all of these people are looking at me. What if they think I'm an idiot? What if I, you know, flub my line? What if I, you know, forget, you know, screw up the data? Well, I talked to an actor in my book, a guy named Larry Clark. He was on Law & Order for ages. He's a great stage actor. He's just really interesting fella. And I asked him how he did this, and he was quite honest. You know, he's up there every night in front of, you know, 400, 500 people who paid $70 to see him perform. Mm-hmm. And you know, how do you get ready for it? And he was quite honest. You know, he said, look, there's a lot of failure that went into it. There are a lot of times when it didn't work, but at a certain point, he realized that if he just, he knew his part, he knew everything, but more than anything, he knew how to react to the audience. Some nights a cell phone may go off. Other nights, you know, the audience may laugh at a certain part and not laugh at another part, you know. And so when he was present, it was very organic for him, and he was very much playing off the audience. And so if we think of, you know, somebody has to give a presentation for their company, if they get up there and just talk to the people, if they just tell them what they know, just talk, and just they're ready for some sort of reaction, whatever it may be, that's the best way to go about it. It's never to think, if I make a great presentation right now, I'm going to get a promotion, or if I fail, all of my coworkers are going to laugh at me afterwards. You just go up there and you do it, and people will respect you for it.
All right. We're talking to Paul Sullivan, everybody, whose book is titled Clutch. And you bring up an interesting point with that story about Larry the actor, and that is, do people who are clutch think of themselves as being good under pressure?
Absolutely not. And that was one of the things that shocked me in the course of doing this research. They don't think in those terms. And I talked to, you know, David Boies, the attorney, who is, you know, known in California for the Prop 8 case, and, yep, and also for handling the divorce of the McCourts, who own the L.A. Dodgers. And when I talked to him, he is amazing under pressure. He's got one case after another of national significance. And for him, he doesn't think that, oh boy, if I lose this case or if I win this case, I'm going to get X. He thinks of, as he said, you know, it's never the serve to win the U.S. Open. It's always just the next serve in the tennis match. And I thought that was a very good way to think about it, because all of these people I talk to, the ones who are really great under pressure, they could best be described as grinders. They go in there and they do it, and they do it at the same high level, whether it, you know, had little significance or it had a tremendous amount of significance. And that gets back to my definition of, you know, being able to excel under normal conditions before you can ever do it under pressure. These guys don't get up there and think, oh boy, I've got a lot to win or lose right now.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Paul Sullivan, everybody, author of the book Clutch. Paul, in the last 30 seconds that we have together, it begs the question, from your research, who do you think is clutch? Who are some people that are clutch out there?
Well, Whenever I get this question, I think, you know, the most clutch people I talked to were the military people. I spent a lot of time up at West Point talking to colonels who are training these cadets. And, you know, one of them gave me my favorite line in the book, which is, under pressure, I teach my cadets to fight the fight, not fight the plan. And I think that's, you know, that's something we can all take away. And to be honest, I used it a lot when my daughter was a newborn. I was finishing up the book, and I thought, I got to fight the fight, not fight the plan.
All right. Sound advice from Paul Sullivan, everybody, author of the book Clutch. Paul, it is a great book, and if people are interested in business or interested in learning more about this, the book's available in bookstores everywhere. Paul, thank you so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great, Billy. Thank you very much for having me on.
Take care.